All right, brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles and we're back into the book of Ephesians. And we're there in that marvelous third chapter. And tonight, we're going to come into Paul's great petition, Paul's supplication. And we're so thankful that in the 12th verse, this brother was strengthened. And strengthened in the inner man. And that's the only strength you're ever going to find, is in the inner man, in the new man. And we're so thankful that that happens by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So again, whatever we face, brothers and sisters, know this, you need God's strength. Now He's willing, He's able, He's always readied. But it's in the name of Jesus. It's in His name. There's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. We know this. We know that there is all power given in that name. And He was strengthened in the inner man, in that new man, in the Spirit. And we read how He received boldness and He received confidence. See, you don't naturally have that. That's the grace of God. But apprehend it. Know that it's there. God, you said it and it's so. You told me to come boldly before the throne of grace. Always welcome and encouraged to come and come freely. I want you there. So this brother comes in boldly. He comes in confident and he accesses the throne and he speaks boldly as the Spirit gives him intercession. It's wonderful. Of the things that the Spirit wants to do in us. That wonderful blessing that our lives as we yield can be to God and to one another. And it's so wonderful how He is going to come and even bow down. He's going to get on His knees. This is the most important prayer. The most important petition, truly, that Paul really gives throughout any of the epistles as he comes forward. Praying for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to rejoice. Yes, they're saved, they're filled, they're walking. But there's even more. There's the much the more that God wants to implant in their life. Paul has the vision for this. Paul is the minister of this wonderful gospel to the Gentiles. And he has it here. And he's beseeching the brethren. He's praying to the Lord to take heed to this calling. And this is a calling that's above it, every and any calling there could ever be in life. We're talking about the high calling, the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you have to put this in perspective again, brothers and sisters. What would he be talking about? These are dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. They know him as Savior. They know that they are secure. The Spirit, praise God, very present in their lives. But Paul realizes that there is an attaining, a race that still needs to be won. That we need to finish and finish with joy. And a joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, it moves from a message up here to reality and a life down here. It's who we are. It's in love with the truth. It's, yes, I love you, Jesus, but it becomes, I'm in love with you. You're my life. Praise God. You gave me life. The life I live is your life. See, that's what's just been, truly, I don't know what else to say, that's been just blowing me away. I know this, but I know it in a deeper way. I am now a son of God. He sees me. As he sees his only begotten, he sees me. And what grace, what great grace. All right, let's move. Verse 13, chapter 3. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And it's going to go on. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Now, as we begin in this 13th verse, brothers and sisters, I really believe the timing is so appropriate. God is so right on. He just is. Don't really know how to explain it, but it's the miracle I live every day. It's the miracle all of His children live every day. It's just some of them don't want to apprehend it or realize it. But His timing, it's just amazing. It's marvelous. He's never too early. He's never late. He's always right there. It's always perfect. And I'm going to tell you, there is great suffering, if you didn't know this, that's going on in this meeting in many lives right now. The evidence of being pressed out of measure, brothers and sisters, it's evident. Despairing of our own lives, that's not an uncommon thing anymore. Amen? Amen. Now don't look woeful in that. Don't. And tonight, I believe you already know. But may God let us see something even deeper, brighter in this. The treasure of the suffering, brothers and sisters. The need for it. The requirement of it. But brother, this evidence, and sisters, this evidence is right there. But as the Lord encourages our hearts not to despair. And I would really encourage you, and I know you do this most of the time anyways. Let's turn to these scriptures tonight. There's going to be a lot of scriptures here tonight. Scripture night. That's good night. Let's read them together. Lord, put this into my heart. Write this by Your grace. Let me believe this effectually. Let the energy, the power of God take hold of this in our lives. We're at the home stretch. I really do believe it, brothers and sisters. Whether Christ comes in our lifetime or not, you're still at the home stretch. Your life's but a vapor. And you know it. Anybody who's really over 30 years old, you know it. Got a couple back here that's, if the Lord tarry, they're going to get married. They have not seen time accelerate like it's going to accelerate. It's going to go. And I know some of you are looking at me and say, oh, you're just a youngin', and I am. But I do know how quickly the time just goes and goes and goes. That's why we need to redeem the time. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God who's brought you here tonight? Praise His name. All right, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, I've marked these out, so I'll give you a little time. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to read the 12th through the 14th verse. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. It's not that it's going to maybe try you, that might be there. It's going to try you. It's going to be there. He's appointed this as though some strange thing happened unto you. God, increase our faith. I don't want to be walking around like a Star Trek, a deer in the headlight kind of thing. It's precious when we know these things. It's not sneaking upon us. It's going to come. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed. See, there's a purpose in this. Ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So you're going to learn something in this. You're going to learn the plan. You're going to have this wonderful fellowship with His suffering. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Let's read that again. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Now that's Brother Peter, and let's read Brother Paul over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read from verses 9 and 10. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. And this is just after he's saying, Lord, I sought you three times about this thing. Three times. I've asked you to take it from me. I've done it 30 times. I need faith like Paul. I want to be a faster learner. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Listen to that. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, not just in weakness, in reproaches, in necessities. Well, and I'm telling you, I've been hearing of all the needs that we have. Do you know He's already met them? He's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You have it. He's met it. In persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And I really underscore that, Christ's sake. These aren't just ones that we're bringing in haphazardly. But isn't it amazing that we know all things work together for good to them that love God? To them that are the called according to His purpose. Okay? Now we know this. And brothers and sisters, it's not again like I've got to get all of this lined up before all things are going to start working together for my good. Uh-uh. Jesus, help me. Help me. And He'll work it together for your good. Trust Him. He'll take all of those things. He's not just going to eliminate this and that. He'll work them together for your good. He's a marvelous God. Trust Him. Trust His Word. Don't try to put caveats on these things. Don't try to make your flesh feel good. Well, it's working out better for me because I don't do that like she does. God help you. Grace is grace. And that's it. And stepping into some type of an attitude like that, you are far worse. Far worse. Self-righteousness is something that will bring you down and lead you down a road that will feel good to you, but will rob you greater than anything else will ever rob you. It's filthiness to God. It is. It's filthy. Know it. It takes the glory away from His Son. And He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, this is quite an introduction here, but how could it not be quite an introduction as we get into this? We're talking about winning God's best. Paul is bringing forth the full counsel, the full purpose, the mystery unveiled into the way of God's very best, into the way of taking His Son's hand in wedded bliss. Now, Paul says here that I know that my imprisonment is for your gain. He's bold in that. Now, can you think of anything like that today? This world would be ashamed of anybody that would be going to prison. This world would be ashamed of somebody that was despised, something like that. But Paul knew, and those that knew the Lord knew, that this was for their gain. And praise be to God, Paul knew that if he did these things willingly, it would be of great reward for himself. But did you know that? Willingly? See, a lot of times we do things grudgingly. We do things, well, I guess I have to. No, I want full glory. Full glory to God. I do it willingly because I trust His Word that He has appropriated this. He's brought this to pass. This is the way that I must take because this is God's will. Amen? And it's not something that we take lightly. This is God. This is His purpose. This is His plan. Before ordained good works that we should walk therein. And I'm so grateful to God that He gives us faith for that. But Paul's love for the truth, brothers and sisters, it superseded everything. And the truth told him and assured him the treasure and the riches and the unimaginable glory if we will suffer for Christ's sake. And the Lord's led me to truly spend some time here tonight to remember why we suffer and to remember the wealth in the suffering for us and for God. Don't forget, we are His inheritance. He's all in. And this is how He increases the stake in His inheritance. Amen. If ye suffer with me, you'll reign with me. All right, now, let's go over to Acts 14:22. That's Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. And it says there, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. This is Paul. And that we must through much tribulation. So look at that. That we must. It's not a choice. We must. Through much or many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. It's the way it's going to be. Luke 9:23. Go over there and let's listen. Oh, this is all the word, but this word is brought through the lips of Christ the man here. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not something that I just do once in a while when I feel like it. It's not, well, I'm going to take a sabbatical and then come back and do this. That's the prodigal. You can play that game if you want. I want to dwell in the court. I want to dwell in the house. Amen. See, David, he got tired of messing around like that, didn't he? He says, I'm coming home, Lord. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to mature. I'm going to apprehend the grace and I'm going to settle down with you. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Go on over there. And it says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You better not think about that one too much. That'll scare you. You're appointed. So many months ago, I remember the Lord put on my heart a sermon. These are appointments. These were appointments set before He ever set a star in heaven. Do you realize that? For your finishing? That's how much God loved you. He spoke that stuff. He planned and purposed this out. That ye should walk therein. Amen. Know it, brothers and sisters. This is to the glory of God. This is the testimony to His faithfulness. This truly is proving the men and women that we could never be. Never be. But through Christ, I can do all things because He strengthens me. Amen, amen, amen. Know it. If He be for me, who can be against me? Nothing's hard for Him. Nothing. He'll make my arms like steel bands. He'll allow me to leap over walls. He'll renew my strength. To the old, He makes them like they're young again. Yeah. That's your God. And know it. Know it. Believe Him. Trust Him. You want to please God? It's impossible to please Him without faith. We're in the vice, brothers and sisters. The most precious vice. Not that we're being held there to suffer. We're being held there so He can do the cutting. And these are the final cuts for us to be placed perfectly in that crown. Praise be to God. All right, so it's daily that we're appointed. And good works that we should walk therein. And these are not just any sufferings, brothers and sisters. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 1. These aren't just any sufferings. Oh no. It says there, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. How many times He tells us this? But you know what? It doesn't stop there. That was verse 29. Now let's go to verse 30. See, without faith, you'll fear. You read something like verse 30. Well, 29 was bad enough. 30 will, really, it'll turn your hair white. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But it will if you don't have faith. Not knowing the plan of God. Now listen to what Paul says. Having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Did you hear that? Having the same conflict. And praise the Lord. In all manners, this walk, if we're to attain what Paul attained, if we're going to attain to that same crown of righteousness, it's going to be in these same conflicts. In these same states of suffering, brothers and sisters. It's not going to be any different. It's not. God said in Acts 9:16, He said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Follow me as I follow Christ." And we're going to share jointly in that suffering, brothers and sisters. Know it. And think about how Paul suffered. Chapter 11 of Corinthians tells us, in stripes and perils of water, perils of robbers and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. How about in rejection by the familiar friends? How about in deep sorrow for other sicknesses? Lord, spare my brother so I don't have sorrow upon sorrow. Huh? Come on. In his infirmities. And then really most of all, brothers and sisters, the tremendous burden that Paul had for those that were letting things slip. That hurt him the most. Listen to the epistles. Listen to what the Holy Spirit. He was grieved of the falling away. God said it would be so, but my familiar friends, those that I grew up in the things of God with, you heard these things, we rejoiced, we fellowshiped together and sang, and yet, where are you? And I'm sorry, I can't just say so long. That's my body. Do you understand that? Brothers and sisters, we really need to have the Lord search us if we're just discarding brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to love like He loves. And let me tell you something. He has never stopped loving and never will stop loving any of His children. It's just the way it is. And as God continues to get a grip on our lives, and as we lay hold that same love and that same passion, it's not just compassion, it's passion. You will have a passion for souls. I do know why. It's the grace of God. I can't tell you how it comes or anything like that except by His Spirit. That's it. He takes the love of God and He sheds it abroad in your heart. And you ache. Now, that's not something to be swallowed up in the sorrow. Because immediately God puts me on my knees. And my hope is always abounding in Him. He reminds me, first and foremost, He got hold of the chiefest sinners here. And maybe number two over here. And three and four and all you. No, you were two. Okay. Pushing out Paul. No, I was number one. We all came short of the glory of God. And we all needed the blood of Christ just as much as the other. All right. So how precious that this brother had a heart that loved like this. But as we think about these sufferings, brothers and sisters, always know this. The only one who ever suffered alone was Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? Do you really know that? I know sometimes we think, oh, I'm all alone. No, we're never, ever, ever alone. But Jesus Christ, upon that cross, He was alone. Completely alone. And He entered that depth alone. And He waited patiently. For the Father. He turned His head from His own Son. So that will never ever happen for us. Do you realize that? See, he took that. He took that shame. He took that place. He became sin for us. He became sin for you. And you and you and you, he became sin for me. And he suffered completely alone. So I would never, ever suffer alone. 2 Corinthians 1:5. I hope it doesn't just console you tonight. I hope it causes you to leap for joy. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. And Paul's not being bashful. Can you imagine suffering abounding? Happy? Wonderful. But as they abound in us, this is why it's wonderful. So our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. See, and that consolation is so far-reaching, brothers and sisters. It's so wonderful. He consoles. He comforts. He lived it. He was tested, tried, and all of that. He understands it completely. He became man. He became man. He became the very creation that he and God, before ever formed anything, knew that that was going to be his family. And even further on, my bride's coming from there. My bride's coming from there. A lot of people make the product. They make their product. He became the product. I mean, that's just beyond. It really is. In all manners, in all ways. So grateful to God. And brothers and sisters, this consolation then stretches forth that sure the trial or the sufferings are abounding in us, but the reward, that's what that is too. The reward that he's going to bestow, that's abounding beyond whatever I could ask or think. But it must be this way. See, a lot of times we think, well, Lord, I want it a different way. There's many a Christian out there that are starting to preach devil's lies of, well, God doesn't want his children to suffer. Yes, God does want his children to suffer. He's actually appointed the moments, the events. He's fully orchestrated it. The question is, will you walk in it? And you know the only way you walk, don't you? By faith. By faith. So if we're to walk in this, it's only going to be one way. Believing. By the grace of God, he brings me this faith. And I'll walk by faith. I live by faith. That's the life I have. If I'll yield to that, my goodness, where he's going to have me walk. He's going to have me walk through these things, brothers and sisters. But you know, even if the Lord just told us to suffer. If he just told you suffer. With what he did on the cross, with what he did up on that cross, by his grace, I'd just do it. I'd just say, okay, Lord, whatever. You just tell me that and I'm going to do it. But see, this is the all-loving God. This is the all-incredible God, brothers and sisters, that reveals the wonders and eternal benefit of suffering to us. And I'd like you to go over to 2 Corinthians. We're right there, actually, in chapter 1 and verse 4. And we're just going to back up. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So again, he comforts us in all our tribulation. You may not think he does, but it's because you're not believing him. He said he does, so you know what? He does. He said it's there, so you know what? It's there. Amen? Now, you can say, well, brother, you're not being sensitive. Oh, I'm sensitive enough to tell you the truth. And I'm sensitive enough to tell you to wake up and quit insulting God. I know it hurts. It hurts me too. It hurt him too. The beating, the scourging, all of the things that were going on. But there was a joy that was set before him. And he showed us that. And he lived that. And he became the sin for that. Now, there's a joy that's set before us too. And that's his love for you and for me. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, this is how incredible this tribulation, this suffering is. And most of the time, by the way, too, my mom pointed out, he says, you know what, son? You know, we call it trials and tribulations and things like that. He calls it suffering. And he calls it sufferings. Go look how many times he calls it that. It's all throughout. Praise God. But God uses these trials in our life, brothers and sisters, this suffering, to comfort one another. Do you realize that, what he's doing in you? Isn't that precious? He establishes his faithfulness in us through suffering. It builds experience, doesn't it? Experience of what? His faithfulness, his love, his undying wooing of our hearts. See, I know oftentimes we get through a trial and we think, wow, man, that's great. I just got through that. Well, why am I in another one? Come on. I see you every Sunday and Wednesday. And you see me too. But you were singing last Sunday. Now, I'm not making light of it. Not making light of it. Because we go back, it hurts. It's not joyous for the moment. It's just not. But we know. See, we know this truth. And see, there's an abounding in hope that goes on by faith. There's a peace. There's a rest. Because of faith. And oftentimes, I just sit there and say, Lord, I know I couldn't believe this. It had to be your grace. And it is. That brought me the faith to believe the plan of God. Isn't it wonderful? And I just rest in it. As Brother Hill used to say, you got to get the peach out. And thank God he's always got it out. It's right there. How much do you want, son? How much do you want? But it is awesome, brothers and sisters. We know it. See, it builds this experience in his love and his faithfulness that we may be able to comfort those in their sufferings as well. 1 Corinthians 12:26 tells us, if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I pray we do. I pray we don't just pick and choose who we're going to suffer with. Come on. Oh, but that guy did so much hurt. He brought so much baggage. Caused so much division. I don't read that there. It says, if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I want God's best. I do. I want you to have God's best. And you rightfully divide this. You don't divide it and discard it as to what you want to take if you're going to win him. We're coming to all the fullness of God. Completeness, full and overflowing. And God is love. And that means all the fullness of God's love. We got a long way to go. Thank God his love is on a learning curve like this, isn't it? Yeah. Remember, we talk about one step, right? Just one step. I don't care how many steps you've taken away Monday and Tuesday. Even most of the day Wednesday. One step. Jesus. I've come for my words. Or your words. I love that. I was reading that in Daniel again. I've come for your words. See, Daniel said he wanted it. I want you, Lord. I want to know you. He's come for his words. Be thankful he has. He'll scare you sometimes. But he's coming for them. All right? All right. Then, we've got to hurry along. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's turn over there. It tells us simply, sweetly, take all eternity to really understand it, but that suffering brings the knowledge of God. It tells us to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. And brothers and sisters, all I can think of is if we keep reading these things, this line upon line upon line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept, is this is the all-pleasing vessel. This is the all-pleasing vessel. Remember what vessel is? The vessel is the wife who adds to the usefulness of her husband. I want to be his vessel. I believe you want to be his vessel. I really do. We wouldn't be coming to this type of a meeting, this kind of a study. I would pray that people would all study the Word of God like this. But see, man wants to come at it with this. Well, I'm going to think about this. And I'm going to go ahead and, you know, let me tell you something. Greek is fine to learn, but if you're learning Greek to understand the things of God, you'll never know it. And I mean that. I hope you understand that. There's many people on TV now that are breaking words out and doing these things, and it's starting to enrapture, captivate God's people. If He encourages you to, and I love to study it from time to time, that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's by revelation, saith the Lord. Do you understand that? Please do. That's got one word written all over it. Grace. That's it. Grace. You know what? You come to Him, and you know what? He supplies. You lean on Him, and you know what He does? He never lets you go anyways, but He holds you tighter. That's how God does it. He's always ready. You don't need to prove anything to Him. You're not going to. You can't. You can't be accountable for a thing. I hear people promising to God many times during the week. Please don't promise to God. Don't do that. Just say, Lord, Thou knowest, You're taking care of me. I'm so thankful for Your faithfulness. I'm so grateful for Your grace. It's not even going to lead me on. It's going to take me home. And by the grace of God, if I'll really yield to it and fall into it, it's going to put me right in the midst of the throne. And nowhere else. It's an exact mark. It's a throne of grace. Nothing's going to approach that throne without grace. And I'll assure you, nothing will be in the midst of that throne if it's not the perfect work of grace. Yep. He's letting us know. And then finally, that leads to suffering's greatest purpose. And we have to start in Romans 8. So let's get over there. This is all part of it, but how God just makes it so evident. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says there, and if children, then heirs. Amen. Heirs of God. Now in that, there's no conditions. There isn't. You're born into it. Amen. You are born, you're a child of God, and as a child of God, you're an heir. You're an heir of God. You are His son. You're a child's son at that moment, but no less a son than the most mature, oldest son He's got. You're still a son. And as a son, an heir of God. But see, as we are understanding and in this wonderful mystery, it goes on, and joint heirs with Christ. Now we understand it went from God, the Father, as a child, to a joint heir with the Son. There's a huge difference that happened there. There's a giant transformation that happened there. In one verse, He took a life. And He said, this is what My grace can do if you'll let it. I'm telling you, man, every hair is just... To embrace this truth. To see the simplicity of the gospel and what it's saying there. Joint heirs with Christ. And you know what word we're back there, aren't we? Ephesians 3:6. Fellow heirs. I'll give you that one in the Greek and never forget it. Synkleronomous. Joint heirs as husband and wife. This is what this is. And joint heirs as husband and wife. There is a condition here, isn't there? This wasn't something you were born into. This is the walk. This is the yielding. This is a life that surrenders. Apprehends the grace of God. Says, yes, Lord, I see that it's the grace that saved me. But it's the grace that's going to grow me up. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him. And I would still be thrilling tonight. But He said, oh no, honey, I want you to read the very last part. That we may be also glorified together. See, He loves her, doesn't He? He just loves her. I'm going to make all know that I have loved thee. That means I'm going to put you out front, honey. You're going to be with me, but I'm going to you're my glory too, because of what you allowed my grace to work in your life. That He would be magnified in me. Isn't that just marvelous? Isn't that precious how we came through goodness last Sunday? We saw that the goodness is Christ magnified in me. And me in Him. Glorified together. See, there's nothing better than that. Because this is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:12. And I know you know this one. If we suffer... We shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, that means if we deny Him the right that we suffer, to bring those sufferings into our life. Remember, these are the before ordained good works that what? That we should walk therein. There's a choice. You can deny the suffering. You can. Absolutely you can. And He's telling you right here, you are still a child, you're still an heir, but I'm going to deny you the right to reign with me. It is that simple. Now, I am not doing this, and I pray, and you couldn't do it anyways. I'm not doing this to be glorified together with Him. I'm not doing this by the grace, and it's all by grace anyways. I'm not doing this to reign with Him. But see, He wants me to. And He's going to do that if I'll allow this grace to grow in me. I just love Him. Because He first loved me, and He's growing this love up. And this prayer... And I think you can understand tonight, we're not getting to the prayer. There's just too much in the 13th verse. I can't help it. I hope you're not disappointed. I can only do what the Spirit is going to do. But it's love. It's a prayer for love. It's what it is. It's all about the love of God. And that is all the fullness of God. In here. In there. His wife is altogether lovely. Isn't that awesome? Altogether. We're all together. That bride is one beyond. And all together in her, they're loving. Like you can't imagine. God give us a vision. When we embrace, brothers and sisters, this glorious benefit that suffering brings out in our lives, then we can truly begin to rejoice in tribulation, can't we? Do you see this? This is why we can. Not because I'm just optimistic or I'm happy-go-lucky or I'm an airhead. Or I don't know better anyways. No. It's because we do know. We know Him. We know the plan and the purpose. This is when we can glory in mine infirmities. And we go right back to 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now this was Peter saying this. Peter didn't have the vision that Paul had. And notice when he said, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Brothers and sisters, I'm expecting to be His glory revealed. What did he say? The bride adorned, coming down from heaven, having the glory of God. Peter's place, he'll only behold the glory. He'll be exceedingly glad to behold it. I don't know what the word for those, and again, all by grace if we attain, it's going to be in it. First Corinthians 12:24 says, there's even more abundant honor to the part that lacked. Did you hear that? There's more abundant honor to the part that lacked. That's lacking. Okay? Now we understand that he's talking about the body there. Okay? There's the comely parts. There's the uncomely parts. You know? All right? But think of this for your own lives, brothers and sisters. The weakest, the most vulnerable, the most sensitive, the part that you detest the most in your life. The same thing that Paul was seeking the Lord three times to remove is the most glorious because they're the most dependent upon Him. Without depending upon the Lord, especially in those parts of our lives, brothers and sisters, I know it from experience. My life is a shipwreck. Done. And that is a big amen. Do you understand why we now glory in our infirmities? Because this is the place where we truly just rest at the very heart of God. Right there. Jesus, it has to be You. Convict me, search my heart, O Lord. Like David said, search it. Bring these things out, Lord. Give Your grace, because I'm going to need it. Because this is the part I don't want to deal with. This is the part I've always put aside and brushed aside all my life. This is the part nobody sees at church. This is the part maybe, I don't know, maybe my spouse doesn't even know about. Give me the grace, Lord. Give me the grace. It needs to be dealt with. Needs to be dealt with. All right. And then and only then, brothers and sisters, in that yieldedness can we pray as Paul for us and for others that this most precious petition. I think I'm just going to close it. I was going to maybe start a little bit of the, just an outline of the, I think the time's got us. I pray that's encouraged your heart. I know it's sometimes not easy, but it's reality. By the grace of God, He's not going to let you. And by the grace of God in me, I'm not going to let you live in denial. We're not going to deny the sufferings, brothers and sisters. We're not. And see, God is such a lover of our soul that He's going to continue to come at us. I told a brother here recently that's having a struggle. I said, the thing that gives me peace is that I know the same message, the high calling message that has been given to me has been given to you. and your life will never sit right. Listen to me. Your life will never sit right until you fully apprehend that love. There was something that he saw. There was something that he knew about you that maybe you're sitting here thinking, oh, that wasn't me. Oh, yes. You would not be sitting here. And God knows you better than you'll ever know yourself. This was no accident. This wasn't something that was a by chance. It's not. And let me tell you something. He is true to His Word. And He's a jealous God, and we talk about all those things. But He loves. And His love does never let go. Never lets go. So, I got hope for me. And I got the same hope for you. Do you know it? That's just the Word of God. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.